Hey everyone, and welcome to the Keep Them Healthy podcast. This is your host, Jamie. Welcome back to this two-part episode with Bella Mazenga and her 12 healthy tips. We are going to start at number 7, and then at the end, you'll see a nice surprise where Bella adds in an extra special tip. Let's get to it. Welcome to the Keep Them Healthy podcast. This is your host, Jamie. And today on my show, it is a pleasure to welcome Bella Mazenga. She is a full-time working mom of two who enjoys being healthy and having a healthy lifestyle. And she has been raised by holistic Armenian parents. And now she is taking what she has learned from them and trying to instill that with her own family. So Bella, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jamie. It's been exciting and I've been looking forward to this interview. Number 7 is snack smartly. I put snacking smartly, just portion control, but like put everything when I get the groceries, I wash everything as much as I can. Because let's be honest, during the week, you're working, you don't have time. So I'll wash all the produce, like the carrots, I'll peel them. I'll cut up the celery. I'll cut up even the apples. The apples get really gross. I don't take the skin off because I feel like they need the skin and has its own nutrients. So they say there's a lot of wax on the apples. So I'll soak them in white vinegar and then I'll let them dry and then I'll put them in the fridge. And I'll make sure like anything that they want for snacking, it's on their eye level when they open up the fridge. Things that they need to stay away from, I'll put it at the top. I'll try to like have everything cut and dried so that they can quickly just grab it. And it's either in little bags or it's in front of them in their eye level for their portion control. And same thing for the car. Car, obviously you can't store a lot of snacks, but I do recommend for moms to keep some snacks that are not, you know, going to go bad necessarily, like nuts or dried fruit, things like that. And I'll just keep them in that glove department because kids get hungry and you're a soccer mom, you're traveling around. And the easiest thing to do is to go to 7-Eleven or to a grocery store and like, oh yeah, go ahead. Let's get some, chips or something. But if you already have it in your car for them to help hold them over until dinner time, that's always great. So you have those little healthy snacks in the car. And nuts are great for that, and seeds and dried fruit. Obviously, just regular fruit are even better, and vegetables as well.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of meat sticks, which is getting 100% like grass-fed meat sticks because it fills them up, and that's something that you can keep and it won't go bad as well.
Yeah, so the meat sticks, we've been a big fan of it. We started to do venison sticks, but you can't find them. They're even better, because they're like wild. You know, grass-fed, grass-finished. There's nothing else in there except the venison. So it's really good. And the kids like them too. Yeah, try them out. But I don't think they sell them again at certain stores, not everywhere. And you can obviously order it online. Okay. All right, so we're at number 8. All right, so number 8 is mindful eating. I mentioned to you earlier about making sure we sit at the dinner table. Yeah. Sometimes it's so easy just to eat in front of the TV and everyone's kind of like, oh, let's have a pizza day. I get that if we have those moments once in a while, it's a fun moment, but it's important for family to always sit at the dinner table. It brings the family together. After all day you're at school and at work, you ask about, we play this game called high and low. What was the high of your day and what was the low of your day? We obviously pray, and that having that grateful mindset before you even put that bite in your mouth is important to understand where the food came from, appreciating that mom and dad cooked it, smelling the food, looking at the food before you're shoving it in your mouth. Right. We try to play music. It's funny, like if it's Italian meal, I'll play Italian music in the background. We're like, Alexa, play Italian music. If it's taco night, we'll have Mexican mariachi band.
That's funny.
I just kicked in Alexa. it just puts them in the mindset and it's like we're in that culture, right? It's fun. We dim the lights a little bit in our dining room. I'm actually in my dining room right now. But we dim our lights in the dining room and it's just the whole process of talking about your day, high and low, to reflect on it, share with us information, because as we know, as they get older, they're not going to want to share anything about their day. So having this tradition early in our family is important because then they're going to know to keep going with it, to tell what was the best part of your day, what was the lowest point of your day, and having that prayer time as well, and just enjoying every meal. I try to breathe, and breathing is important, that intuitive eating and slowing down. My husband's guilty of eating fast because he said in his family, it's like, if you don't finish, you don't get your second. Someone else is going to get into it. You know, like it's like, yeah. I got to get. So he has that mindset like boom, 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 boom. Like, let's slow down. Let's eat slowly for digestion. For myself, I have like a really bad digestive issues. So I either do a little bit of bitters in the water that's been helpful, or even putting a little bit of salt under my tongue just to get the juices going of my, or taking digestive enzymes has really helped. Especially if I know the meal is going to be a little heavy for me. As a mom, that has been helpful. Apple cider vinegar is also good to do right before a meal. But yeah, and drinking water, just taking a nice lemon water right before you start even eating. Because I know we're all hungry. Everybody wants to eat, especially at dinner time. But like, take a pause, do all that. And then I feel like you'll enjoy your meal better and you'll be able to digest it better and absorb all the nutrients from it.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Next one is prioritize sleep. So sleep is, I know. Well, we go to bed at 7:30. Not us. I'm sorry. The kids go to bed at 7:30. Do they actually go to bed at 7:30? No. So we start the process at 7:30. And so in their bed, after we read to them and, they're in separate beds. They used to be in bunk beds. Now they read, they play, but it's their quiet time. And then they kind of fall asleep on their own. It's kind of nice that they're now able to help themselves fall asleep on their own way. And they know the rule, like, okay, mommy and daddy put us to bed. That's it. I can't go downstairs. I mean, do they still do that? Yes, sometimes, but it's like, just go to bed. So sleeping as much as possible as they're growing up. And for us, you know, 8-9 hours is great. 7 to 9 hours is great. So my husband and I try to go to bed before 9 o'clock, like 8:30, 9, at least like get into that bedroom area around that time. Blackout curtains, absolutely no light in the room. You shouldn't even have to see your hand. If you can still see your hand, there's light coming from somewhere, block it out. That's one of the best kind of hacks to get the deepest sleep. I don't have any of those like sleeping hacks where they have those rings or, you know, testing it. I don't do that. I can tell in the morning, like if I really had a good sleep or not. Try not to drink water right before you go to bed. I do drink tea, but like if you drink too much, you're going to keep getting up and you're going to disrupt your REM, your sleep, and you're not going to get that deep sleep that you need. But yeah, it's something that's calming. We usually read or do some sort of like journal writing, just to kind of reflect on the day and get into our bed and, watch a movie, like a quick little show, something really light, nothing heavy. So we're not having like crazy nightmares. And then just go to bed. Yeah. So it's like at least 8 hours or 9 hours we try to get of sleep. Sleep is huge. It's important. So prioritizing sleep is the big thing.
I agree.
I know. 10 is exercise, right? So having a habit, even 10 minutes a day, you can squeeze it in. I know I work full time and I come home and I just work out right before the boys get off the bus. Or I'll work out on a Saturday, Sunday if I can't squeeze it in on the weekday, but at least 3 to 4 times or 3 to 5 times. And my husband works out in the morning. I used to do that. I used to get up like 4:30 in the morning and work out. I just can't do that anymore. For me, I'm now an afternoon workout person and he's in the morning workout. But taking your dog for a walk is great if you can't squeeze in an actual exercise. We created an exercise room in our house. It used to be our toy room for the kids. Now the toy room's in the basement. And so we made the toy room upstairs as our exercise room. So I think once we did that, it really forced us to be consistent. So like, okay, we have this whole room that we have a treadmill and everything here. Like we need to not work out. Like working out is going to be our priority. And you feel great. I mean, it melts the stress away, the endorphins go up. So having that consistency is huge every day working out. And I think of rotating it, strength training, cardio, a little bit of everything. You get bored with it, do something else. I'm a dancer. I used to dance for my college. So I'll do like a dance choreography, Jamie, you know.
I love it. You're such a good dancer. You are.
Dancing's huge. So that's my cardio. One day I'll do that. One day I'll run. One day I'll do legs and arms and, you know, strength training, yoga, Pilates, anything like that. So that's definitely, change it up because people get bored. Yeah. If I do the same workout every day, you lose it. Then you're done. Then you're never going to go back. But if you keep changing it and keep changing the videos, YouTube, obviously gym subscription is good. But we just do it on the TV here. We'll just screencast. And I think I have like the fitness app, the Apple Fitness app, which is nice. It's been great. There's like so many trainers, so many videos to choose from. And you never repeat. It's just endless videos. So you always feel like you're learning something new. So it's great.
I love that. I think just move and do it in your own creative, whatever way you needs to happen, whether it needs to be social, whether it needs to be crammed in, whether it needs to be lifting, whether it needs to be dancing. I just say move and do
move,
you.
Yes.
Because it's so important. You're right.
Yeah. Just that lymphatic drainage too. Just we're so stagnant. We're sitting, we're driving all day. Mm-hmm. Like we have to keep our body moving constantly. Oh, yeah. So that's definitely important. And I think everybody knows that at this point. Yeah. Number
it's
10.
Good to be reminded.
Oh yeah. Stress, man. Number 11, manage stress. Mm. Oh boy.
It can look so different for so many people, but it's so important.
Yes. So there's apps. For meditating, I wake up with 10-minute meditation. Am I really in that meditation zone? No, it's going to take years and years to really feel in that gamma waves, they say, like to really deep in there. Mm-hmm. But it just, I'm mindful about my thoughts. And I know, okay, there's like a cloud. It's going in, it's going out. I'm just in my moment of darkness. And I'm just, you know, understanding that, okay, there's 1,000 things in my head and I'm conscious to be okay with that, sitting with that for 10 minutes in the deep silence. Other things, people can just, you know, dance when they're feeling stressed, listen to music, exercise again, but definitely not eat when you're stressed. Cause that's like the worst thing you can do, when you're like eat, cause then you're going to probably make bad choices with eating when you're stressed out. Talk to someone, call your family, call your best friend when you're stressed. Sometimes even just writing it out. If there was like something stressful that happened that day, just getting it out on paper and then ripping that paper, throwing it in the trash just helps to get it out of your system. But scheduling that me time for moms especially is so important. That little 10-minute, 20-minute peace of mind where nothing is important other than you and you just being in the present moment with yourself. So it's so huge. That definitely can manage your stress. And breathing exercises. There's a bunch of breathing apps with, you know, from Wim Hof and all sorts of that. We don't breathe properly. There's a whole episode we can do about breathing. I'm still learning it. And there's a lot of that that helps withstand and manage stress as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And I think for moms who are busy or maybe have younger kids, those taking a long walk or even a short walk, getting outside and walking when you're feeling swirly helps to ground you. But then it also, it just helps you to move your body. And again, move those thoughts and that anxiety and that stress, whatever it is, through your body so that after you're done that walk, you feel a lot better. And that's a helpful tip. Or walking with somebody and like
walking with something,
hashing it out, you know.
Which brings me to the next tip, seek nature. Seek nature and be social. So there's a thing called forest bathing and there, you've heard of grounding where you take your feet off and you're connecting with the earth, with the grass. And so, you know, if it's not snowing outside and it's not all mushy and muddy, especially in the spring and summertime, I try my boys and I and my husband, we're all like barefoot rocking around in our backyard. So connecting with that earth is so important. And then taking them out to parks and being in the middle of the forest, just the clean air, just you can tell the difference. So there's a whole science behind it. And so submerge yourself in a hike, go into the forest and do a camping trip with your kids. It just completely detox the technology, the indoor air as much as possible. It's so good for us. We need to get back into reconnecting with more of nature. We're just so indoor now too much that we know the sunlight with Andrew Huberman always talking about sunlight or first thing in the morning, going outside, that oxygen is important, all of that. So definitely seek nature as much as you can. See, go out there and social. We are social creatures. We're all like need to be part of a tribe. So getting with your friends, making that's it's hard because we're all busy and everyone's got a different schedule. But the mom friends of us, like we'll call each other up or we'll text like, okay, what dates work for you? Let's go get a dinner. Like the girls get a dinner. Or if it's husbands and wives, like we try to plan at least once a month or every other week or something to go on a date or do something social together, because we can get so wrapped up in our bubble and our work life that we forget to socialize. And I'm not talking about social media. Like social media is not part of socialization. Right. Socializing, talking face to face, and doing activities together. So seek nature and be social is number 12 for me.
I love that one.
Yes. And are we ready for bonus?
Yeah.
And I want to know what you thought it was afterwards.
Well, because you ended it with like seek nature and be social. In my head, I'm like, all right, she's talking about disconnect. And I'm like, I feel like there's a lot going on with disconnect between earth and with others. And maybe the last one is spirituality.
Close. I mean, that's definitely going to be number 14 then.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, I could keep going. I know.
Right.
There's just
so many things. I get it.
Well, I think it's part of it. Yes.
Okay.
Engaging in lifelong learning, to be a lifelong learner.
Okay.
Reading, right? Mm-hmm. Spirituality.
Yeah. Spiritual,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Curiosity, following your intuition and your soul seeking and all these things. That could be.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's.
That's
all
part
of it. I told you to be this. I can find logic and reasoning behind anything to make it like it should be, that I want it to be.
Yes. So we try, my husband and I try to either get an audible book. You know, it's hard to just sit there and read. I'll read a little bit, but I'll usually fall asleep after page two, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you're exhausted by the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And so when do we have the time? So I'll try to listen to something on in the car or just learning a new skill during the summertime when I have off time. I'll try to go into Skillshare or some of the online courses, YouTube. And for me, especially, I mean, I already have lifelong learning as part of my career, being professional development as a teacher. But on top of that, I'll try to learn new crafts, new skills, things like that. There's Udemy, Coursera, YouTube, Skillshare. Taking a different route home or to your house is important, because you're always engaging your brain to think differently. So we get into that autopilot, like, okay, I turn left, like you can do it with your eyes closed, but never drive with your eyes closed. So taking like challenging yourself, like, what if I take this way? Like, how would I get home? So it's always pushing your creativity. It's always pushing you to really think differently. And, all of that, you know, learning new craft, new choreography, all of that mm-hmm. could be helpful. So,
I love that. I am a lifelong learner as well, especially with being a teacher and all that as, but I think learning new skills, even just learning how to become a fitness instructor and then learning how to become just even learning how to live a healthy lifestyle. Like that was a rewiring of my brain, right? Like mm-hmm. there's so many things and you continually learn and learn and learn. And so just keep seeking the things that you're passionate about. So for me right now, I am just absorbing. I'm really wanting to learn more and more about spirituality and all different forms of it and what the different people believe in. And I'm loving just opening up my eyes and my heart.
Yeah.
To it. It's just so fun and it just feels good. And then I don't know, you're right. It fulfills you in a different mm-hmm. way that your rudimentary everyday stuff can't do for you.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't have that plateau. You always need mm-hmm. to keep pushing yourself to learning more. Our brain can really take everything. We just have to keep pushing ourselves to get in more information. So that spirituality, that's a whole new, yes. On Sundays, I really get that from our pastor. And I also try to do the spiritual readings and Robert Greene has this, he wrote the 48 laws. He has this book, 365 meditations. And so every day there's a new little reading,
new
Ledic inspiration. So it's really cool. And so I'll read that and it's like, huh, I never thought of it that way. And he really makes you think about certain stuff. So that's good. Yeah.
What is the, is there an Armenian like relationship to nature or to God or to what is that main push for Armenians, I guess?
I don't know. Yes. For in Armenian culture, we were raised Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox Christians, you know, so it's more about Christianity than maybe Catholics. But you know, Armenians were, it's the Noah's Ark landed in Armenia. If you go back to the Bible, the Mount Ararat, the mountain, is in Armenia. And so they say they're like Armenians, are like the first Christians. So we're very, very into spirituality, into Christianity. And everything around the dinner table revolves around that, that gratefulness. And we have toast. We toast after almost every bite to be thankful for. Thank you for the host. Thank you for cooking this meal. Thank you for our grandparents. Thank you for our kids. Thank you for this wine. And, you know, people who are not Armenian, who are sitting around the dinner table, are like, oh my God, I just want to eat this food. There's so many pauses. It's a great way for mindful eating. We have this toast incorporated. You know, shish kebab is an Armenian tradition. And, you know, you go out hunting, you get, or you get the lamp, and everything is cooked from scratch. And I've seen that process in the farms of my grandparents, which is a little bit shocking, where they get the lamb and they cut it and all of that. But it's a spiritual thing too. So yeah, it's part of that tradition. But
that's
yeah,
connection to the land and connection to nature, and and full circle of being thankful for what the land provides and what you can do for the land, all the things that
Cool. And in Armenian, in my grandparents' village, I mean, everyone had a garden. And I'm not talking about like a little 4x4 that we have. It was the whole yard. And it was from the pear trees to the carnations, the whole flower section, to tons of my grandma's garden was just beautiful. I wish I had a picture of it. I don't, but it was just like, I don't even know, like almost like quarter of an acre of just garden. It's just insane.
Wow. That sounds beautiful. And it sounds so refreshing or something.
Yeah.
I feel like if you would stand in that, it would just almost be like mind blown of just the beauty of it, and probably
beauty,
the smells and the smells. Of all, oh, I can't even imagine.
Colors, and being like a little girl, that's always going to be in my head. Like just going out there, picking out strawberries and raspberries and like off the tree, getting the, like just like,
I love that.
Yeah.
What an experience.
So that stayed with me to always appreciate the color of food, the wide variety of food, and to eat more food than something that's in a package. Yeah.
And you feel that like viscerally through your experiences too, which is really cool. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
That's so nice. Bella, this has been awesome.
Oh, now, thank you.
You have given us so much information. It's been an hour's worth of information, and everything, like if I want to just high five you through the screen to be like, yeah, girl, let's preach this. Let's educate. Let's let people know that you can do this in the modern world. It just takes some intention, some prep, some just thinking about these things and making small changes, and then it just, it all adds up. But
consistency.
Yeah,
and consistency. Having that balance. And also it helps when your husband's on board.
That took me like 5 years. So just for everyone listening, it took me like 5 years. But now like it's been beautiful after, but it took a long time because it's hard for people to feel what you feel or to know what you know. And then once they do, then it's awesome. But you know, it's all in God's time. So it happens.
They're raised in a different environment, in a different family, but the fact if they're open to it, not like completely shutting it down, like I don't understand that, or I don't want to learn about that, that's a problem. But them being open, and my husband's 100% on board, like he totally gets it, especially if he hears it on Joe Rogan's show.
Well, that's so, but the things when Matt sends me about Joe Rogan, he's like, I know you already know this, but Joe Rogan just said that. I'm like, thank you for validating me through Joe Rogan.
It's always
I needed to be validated because of Joe Rogan, but that's fine. It'll, as long as the validation's there, fine. No.
Exactly.
It's funny. It is funny to say that. But so being a teacher and all, is there any way, like if people like you really resonate with you, like, do you want them to give them an avenue to reach out to you or to speak to you, or where can we find you if we wanted to?
So, my husband and I keep going back and forth to starting our own podcast
because you're wonderful. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. We have these funny conversations. I mean, it is about our journey of living, but he would always like make fun of me, but then he'll be on board with me and he'll be like, okay, you're always right kind of thing. And they're like, oh, you know, but it's just funny. And so we started a podcast, but we didn't really start it. And so we just made an Instagram. It's called That Bites, THAT_BITEZ with a Z, Bites.
Oh, with a Z. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
With a Z.
I love it.
So like That Bites, talking about food, because we're such foodies. Everything revolves it. With an Italian and Armenian, it's everything is about food.
Yeah. Cool.
So we thought about it. So we just, for now, it's just a podcast. I'm just posting stuff, just about food, just like little tips and tricks, or like a cool meal I'll have, or something I made that I thought was beautiful and I'll take a picture of it. But it's so hard because that's like a whole other time sake just to dedicate your time for that. And so I'm still trying to figure out with full-time job, but just, I have that separate Instagram. So if they want to DM me, if anybody wants that, I've done a little bit of life coaching where I've helped my friends get back on track and healthy. I came into their kitchen and I helped them cook healthy meals. One of my friends who was on maternity leave, and then she wanted to get back into healthy eating while having a baby, and she just wasn't sure how to cook the right meals and stuff like that. So I helped her. I went with her to the grocery store and I went in the kitchen and I was like, okay, you can do this, 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 this. And it helped her get back on track and like feel like she's able to now continue that. But I love that. I could do that with any day. Like I'll go to the grocery store. I'm like, don't buy this, buy this. I've tried it all. This is what works. I love doing that. And so I can definitely provide that service for anybody.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And I wish you the best of luck with the That Bites podcast.
Yes.
I like that. That is like a little sassy, but also very on point with food and all things. That's so cool. So anyway, listeners, as I always say, you do you, stay well, and keep them healthy. Thank you so much, Bella.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.